And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every single episode ever of Star Wars The Clone Wars and all its six seasons forever and always until the series ends. Anyway, in this episode, I should change this up, and then every time I try to change it up, it's awful. So in this episode, the Chancellor travels to Naboo to preside over a public ceremony guarded by Jedi Knights. Dooku and his bounty hunters, including the undercover Obi-Wan Kenobi, launch their kidnapping plot. There will be, for me at least, I don't know about Chris, but for me, it was a conclusion that makes you go, really? That's why we just watched four episodes of this? Really? Really? We're talking about Crisis on Naboo this week. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good.
That's good. He was just telling me about roof cats.
We got roof cats where I work.
We just have very angry dumpster cats behind the mall.
Well, our roof cats are dumpster cats, too.
But you just, like, open the cardboard dumpster and you just hear it. I'm just like, oh, I bet you're cute when you're not angry.
No, I've worked in the restaurant business enough to know that, like, sometimes at one place, one of the scariest, just most adrenaline-producing moments ever was just sort of, you know, not paying attention, just the end of the night, take the garbage out, throw it in this, and it was in this huge, it was a dumpster / compactor. So when it got full, if you were lucky enough to see it when it was full, you could push the compactor button and it would crush it all, and it was really cool. But this night it was basically just a big dumpster, and I just, like, half paying attention, chucked the bag in there. And a full-size raccoon came leaping out onto my shoulder, did a sort of, like, I don't even know if its front legs hit my shoulders, but its back legs definitely did, because it did a leap off my shoulders. And we're talking, like, 25 pounds of raccoon, you know?
Jeez, crazy. Like,
and of course, it was going, wah, 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 and out of nowhere, and, you know, glowing eyes flying out of nowhere, and then all of a sudden something on my shoulder, and, like, hair in my face, you know. I mean, its gut just, like, slid across the side of my head.
Huh.
And I was like in a movie, you know. I like, backed up against the wall. I had my hand up to my heart, just like, ah, Jesus. Oh, God. And I've never had it happen that bad before, but I've definitely had cats and other raccoons come jumping out of me. Luckily, no rats. Don't seem to be as big a rat problem up here in upstate New York as, say, if I worked in a restaurant in, like, New York City.
I don't know if I've ever had a situation like that. I know there was one time I opened my garage door and I got in my car and I was backing up and I had to, like, slam on my brakes because there was a deer just standing behind my car in the driveway, did not get scared away at the garage door opening or the human getting in the car or the human turning on the car, and it just stood behind my car for, like, 2 minutes, and I was like,
That's very common around where I live. We have lots of deer here. You know, you can, driving through a suburban neighborhood, sometimes you'll just see a family of deer wandering through people's yards, sort of semi-lost. But
I just had a moment. I was like, do I blow my horn? Do I back up slowly? Do I just look at it?
Yeah, you could just go as normal. They won't, you know, if you back up slowly, they're not going to let you run into them. They'll get out of the way, but they might just get out of the way while just sort of, like, half looking at you.
I just have this, like, when I first moved into this house, because if you saw my room, we have a veranda porch that goes around the entire top level, and that's where my room is. And I had this like dream where a deer jumped an entire story up over the thing, crashed through my window, and like gored me. And it was a very vivid dream.
There's got to be some symbolism in that. I have no idea what it is, but
I know. And so, like, ever since then, when I see deers, I'm just like, is it going to jump a story into my room? Ugh. Yeah, no. And, like, I have, like, a weird, I don't want to say a fear of deer, but, it, like, ever since that dream, like, I'm, like, super anxious about deers. Because it was one of those very vivid dreams that you feel pain. And so when you feel pain in that dream, it sticks with you. And so ever since then, I'm just like, oh, deer!
Yeah, no, I guess, you know, during mating season and stuff, or if you catch one by surprise, they could be hostile towards you. But most of the time, they're just really shy, you know. They're shy to a point of, like, if it's standing on your lawn, you could walk up to it to a certain point before it's going to run away or just back away or whatever. There's been a couple times when I was a kid where if it was a baby deer that got away from its parents, it would walk right up to you and be like, hey, how's it going? And you could pet it and whatever. Or sometimes you would just be walking around and you find a very young baby deer just sort of hanging out in a little nest sort of area. And that would be, you know, that would be where the mother would leave it when they were going off to do something. If the baby can't walk fast enough, they'll put it in a little hiding place. And every once in a while, you'd find a baby deer and you know, it would have no fear of you and just sort of, like, let you pet it or whatever. But, they're definitely not going to jump up into your second-story window, so you're good with that.
I know. It was such a weird dream that it just kind of stuck with me. So now I'm always a little nervous around deer, and I hate that now a lot of times, like, you know, we have our house is on a hill and we have a backyard where you drive around to the carport underneath. And so sometimes I'll like be taking the dog out and there'll be deer down the hill and by the woods. And so that's fine. But then just, it's weird. I'm a weird person. It's fine.
You'd be weird if you weren't having strange dreams. That's a component of life.
Yeah, I'm starting to reach that age. Like, if I can have a night of sleep where I actually have a dream, I'm just like, oh, wow, I actually got sleep. Yay. I like when I have dreams because I'm like, I was actually asleep and not, like, dozing for 6 hours. Well, you want to get started with the episode?
Let's get on it.
Did you like it?
I did like it. I liked it better than the last episode. How much so? We'll find out when I score it up.
I liked it. I just, again,
this I sense that you have a little disappointment in the ending of it. You had some expectations it was going somewhere else.
Yeah, it was one of those, like, there's always something about this arc. Like, and I said it last week when we were doing the box and stuff, that a lot of stuff could have been trimmed up in this arc. And I even as we were watching it, I was like, there was a reason why I remembered that this arc wasn't that high to me, despite it having Cad Bane and stuff. And then I reached the end of this episode, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's the reason why. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. But we'll get to that in Act 3. So, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Crisis on Naboo is the 84th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars, and it aired on February 10, 2012. It was written by Brent Freeman and directed by Danny Keller. And some extra information for you. I'm about to butcher this so bad, guys. You don't even know. But if you go on StarWars.com in the episode trivia, you can actually see the pictures that I'm about to talk about. But during the fireworks scene when Palpatine was giving his speech, there was 6 very quick fireworks. It was just like boom, 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 boom. And there were little circles with pictures. And that's what I'm about to talk about. The fireworks and holograph display was meant to describe the history of Naboo. And you can see these pictures on StarWars.com. The images symbolize the crash of the Grismalt colony ship on Naboo, Kuwailan's discovery of the world, and a nomadic tribe venturing into the Gallo Mountains.
Can I just say I just want to call it the Griswold colony ship, and that they were early ancestors of the Griswold family from the National Lampoon Vacation movies.
Sure.
Okay, thank you. That's all.
A nomadic tribe venturing into the Gallo Mountains, the nomadic tribe arriving at the Deja Peak, settling there and developing the farming community on that land that grew into the city of Theed. So it actually shows like all those pictures and what they symbolize during the fireworks. Also mixed into the fireworks display is the receding text that resembles the opening scrolls that starts off every Star Wars movie. Yeah, there wasn't a lot on this week for episode information. That was pretty much what it was.
I guess not.
Yeah. So, that's fine. You know who's also fine?
It depends. You mean like...
Hey,
fine,
Beauty.
Fine, he's fine, or
no,
he's
Beauty
so
is
fine.
So I'm sure like Yoda's like the hot fox of his race.
Is he now? Is he though?
I don't know. Well, what do you think of Yaddle?
I don't know if that's necessarily his race or just a similar race, because it seemed almost, Yaddle seemed like there was a bit of like humanoid dwarf mixed.
I think Yaddle is Yoda's race.
Supposed to be Yoda's race? Yeah.
Let me see. I think she... Is that a she? Yeah, she is the same species as Grandmaster Yoda and was a Jedi Master and a member of the High Jedi... Yeah, so she is the same race. God, she looks... Ugh.
Yeah.
I just found a picture of her and she looks
like...
See, though,
she might be the Raquel Welch of his... You know, he might... You know, I mean... Let's put it this way. Is Bernie Sanders good looking?
Probably to some people.
Right.
Beauty is subjective.
That's sort of what I think of Yoda as being like the that sort of, you know, crazy haired grandpa sort of looking guy. So he's probably not like he's probably like adored by the women who respect his intelligence and are like,
hey,
wow, he's not hideous.
He could be the George Clooney of his race. You don't know
he
this.
Could be.
We don't know what the George Clooney of his race looks like.
He could be the Quasimodo, too. We don't know.
What race? We don't actually know what their species is called.
No, yeah.
Now I'm looking at it. Species to which the legendary Jedi Master Yoda belonged was ancient and shrouded in mystery.
That's usually the end of any kind of description right there.
I didn't know that. I thought like I always just assumed he would have a species name somewhere. What's his planet? Where is
nobody
he
knows. That's the thing. That's why it's so mysterious. That's why everybody would like to see the Yoda origin story.
Everyone likes to know.
In the documentary From Puppets to Pixels, George Lucas joked that Yoda was the illegitimate child of Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy.
If pay your due, Yoda will talk. Yoda will talk.
Well, Yoda, I think you're the George Clooney of your race.
Somewhere there's audio of Yoda and Miss Piggy, I guess, tentatively having sex, or it's, you know. But I guess I remember it was like for People Magazine or something. They had Frank Oz there, and he had, you know, Yoda on one hand and Miss Piggy on the other hand, and Miss Piggy was like, you know, come over here, and I'm definitely can't do a Miss Piggy voice. And was just like, grabbed Yoda and was like, come on, I pulled him out behind the couch.
Come on behind the couch.
For a little behind the couch.
Behind the couch.
Did you see that video I sent you with the Yoda joke?
The video?
I sent it to you in the messengers with the Yoda joke. And I was like, funny!
No.
Oh, Chris.
I don't know.
You have to look at it afterwards. Not that our listeners care.
They care nothing about that. They want to hear the space platitude.
Yeah.
We just had Paul Kelly on, and he said that was one of his favorite things.
Sorry, Paul. I'm ruining it for everybody.
Now we're just delaying his gratification.
In bed.
Yoda knows not of delayed gratification.
All right, what's the space platitude?
No waiting. Trust is the greatest of gifts, but must be earned in bed. You like Yoda switch up in bed this time.
Yeah, you didn't pause. You didn't want to delay that gratification anymore.
Mm-mm.
It was good. Was it good for you? It was good for me.
It's always good for Yoda. Takes what Yoda can get. Always good for Yoda.
Well, good for you.
Nobody has to be around for it to even be good for Yoda. Yoda's easy to please. Yoda is a simple nobody knows because nobody pays enough to know.
You know, that Quasimodo thing is making more sense. All right, so act one.
Yoda's on the Real Doll website. Saving his space allowance.
I'm just gonna start reading Act 1.
It's gonna be one of the cheaper Real Dolls, though, because it's small.
So we'll just buy you a Barbie. You'll be fine.
Yeah, that's it. We'll just get a Malibu Barbie and tell him it's a real doll.
and... It, you know, it'll be life-size for him. They'll be fine.
We'll get him an old... you ever see the Dark Crystal?
No, I've always wanted to.
There's basically a female Yoda in that named Agra. We could get him there's got to be an Agra figure, an Agra puppet out there that we can get him.
And then he can take it behind the couch with Miss Piggy.
She had a lovely set of coconuts, let me tell you. If you ever seen the Dark Crystal, you know what I'm talking about.
Really?
Yeah.
Agra. Dark. Okay, there we go. Oh, I totally misspelled it.
You have to see it on video because you got to see her move. But they definitely worked Agra's coconuts.
Wow!
Yeah.
Oh my, she got nipples too.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. And they move around like two kittens wrestling in a burlap sack.
So pretty much like most like really cheap anime where the boobs have no sense.
How you spell Agra now?
Agra. I misspelled it. Google had to correct it for me.
Yoda's trying to look her up on the spacematch.com now.
We put Yoda on Tinder and he's flipping through all the puppets.
Tinder, that's what I was looking for.
Just swipe left. Swipe left. All right.
Now swipe left slower.
Alright, so act one?
Act one.
Alright, act one. If you missed the last few weeks, here's a quick catch up for you. So Obi-Wan Kenobi faked his death to go undercover as bounty hunter Rocco Hardeen. He gained the trust of Cad Bane and Morallo Evol, who are in charge of the plot to kidnap Chancellor Palpatine. Now the plot is underway! Let's go! And the Jedi Council finalize their plans to protect Palpatine while on Naboo. Anakin's all like, this is going to be so easy peasy parcheesy. And the rest of the Council is worried because Dooku's been planning this attack for months and they've only had like days. But Anakin's all like, psh, we got this. And then he walks out and the Jedi judge him. Meanwhile, on Naboo, the bounty hunters make their first move, taking over a hangar bay and killing everyone in it. Dooku gives a rousing speech about how they were about to change the course of history today. And they'll get so rich that they can buy a planet and stuff. And then Cad Bane gives them all their assignments. But the key here is the fact that actual Jedi Obi-Wan is going to be the sniper for all this. They slip into a hologram disguise thing to look like Naboo guards and head out on their way. Dooku warns Cad Bane to look out for Hardeen Kenobi. There's something familiar about that guy to Dooku.
Yeah, finally he starts figuring that out.
I think he figured it out last week, and he's just like, hmm.
Jeez. I like Anakin's getting snippy with the council.
Me too. It's great.
Yeah, he's starting to like not give two shits about them. And who's believing any of that talk of Dooku about how rich he's going to make all those bounty hunters?
Probably the bounty hunters.
Yeah, there's no way. I mean, you know, like, I'm thinking to myself, if I was Cad Bane, I'd be thinking like, well, I'm going to get some of that money because I'm coming out of this alive. Everybody else, the Empire will just dump them into a volcano and be like, oh, Cad Bane, here's your money. And we'll, you know, because they'll want to hire him in the future. The rest of those guys, it's like, you know, why make them so rich that they don't want to be bounty hunters anymore? That doesn't do the Empire any good. And then they're still around to talk, so it's better just to throw everybody under the bus except for whoever you're going to use again, you know?
See, I was saying last week, like, hey, like, we know that Dooku's a bit of a Cad Bane fan because he's worked with him before.
Right,
but
right.
I also just really, truly think from, like, day one, like, Bane was in on the plan the entire time up until Act 3 when he was just like, what the fuck? That's when he got backstabbed, but we're not there yet.
Yeah, I think Cad Bane and you know, and maybe Obi-Wan. I like how Obi-Wan's in, like, double disguise in this. It's just like, oh, geez, I got to put another disguise on top of my disguise.
Yeah. You know, those... I kind of have a problem with those hologram guard things. Because I know it's like Star Wars and you shouldn't think about science in Star Wars, but like you can't hide mass. And so I feel like their shadows should be like you should be able to see Imbo's big fucking hat, like the shadow of his hat. It's like the invisibility cloak in Harry Potter. Yeah, they wore the invisibility cloak, but you could still see their shadows.
Well, mushroom guy's legs go all over the place, you know what I mean?
Like the tentacle guy floats. He's right. A floater. Why is his guard not floating?
Yeah, no, he's walking just like normal.
Yeah, so, like, I think it's a cool idea, but there's, like, logics in the back of my head wouldn't work.
Yeah, I'll have more problems with them with the hologram suits in the next stack, too, because, yeah. It's an easy way of disguising yourself, you know? It's just a budgetary sort of writing crutch way of disguising yourself.
Yeah, and like they do have a budget and they probably spent a lot of money on the box last week.
But when you're talking about security on those high levels, like security for Palpatine or for the Prime Minister or whatever, you would think that they would be like, well, we know we have the technology for hologram stuff, so they would have countermeasures for ways that people would do that. Otherwise, you could you can't tell me that with that hologram technology that's so that they could just be, hey, look, we got this. You know, that means it's something that they didn't just build and invent. That you know. Security is not aware of that sort of thing, that people could, you know, pretend to be the person they're protecting or whatever and would have some sort of thing like, you know, instead of just like a security field, which Mushroom Guy could still just reach inside of, so what good was it? But have some sort of field that would negate any kind of holograms or sustained fields around people if they had, like, say, anti laser field against around them or something, you know.
And so I kept thinking back to the episode. What was it? It was the episode where Padme had to give a speech, but Aurra Sing was hunting her.
Right.
You know, after Padme got shot, they used a robot, so Padme could still give her speech from her room, but it was still projector voice. So if they were really worried, they could have had like a robot there as Palpatine giving the speech, or since they have all this great hologram stuff, put a Jedi where Palpatine is and have him look like it. So
I mean, you could count a lot.
Like Anakin, and you
could try to get away with a lot of that by just going like, well, you know, Palpatine wanted him to himself. He wanted to be there, you know.
Yeah.
Because he was definitely behind all of it. So he probably manipulated things. So he was probably like, I will not have a robot giving a speech where I could give, you know, or something like that.
Yeah.
So you could write some of those off, but that whole, yeah, that the all that idea, those ideas come up. There's so many things to poke holes in that section of this show.
Yeah.
Those are all the notes I really have. I think the most important part is now Anakin is starting to, like, get... I mean, he's always had problems with the Jedi Council, but now he's just being, like, to be like, yeah, okay, assholes, you know?
Yeah. The only other note I had was I just really like that opening fight with the bounty hunters taking over the hangar.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's a cool thing because you got to see, like, a little bit of all their things. My favorite part is when Bane opens the door and the guy's running away, Bane loops him around the feet, drags him back, and shoots him. And I like that whole opening thing. Though I was surprised Dooku walked in, too. I don't feel like Dooku... I feel like hangers are below Dooku.
Yeah. You'd think so, but... Yeah, I mean... If you're going to have a stooge like Dooku, I guess you got to have him, he's got to go out and do some footwork every now and then, you know?
Yeah, and he needed to be there because, like, he was supposedly in charge of all of it and stuff, too.
Right.
But I do like that opening scene.
I mean, Palpatine's the behind-the-scene guy, so, I mean, what are you going to do with Dooku? He's got to show his face and be the bad guy.
And any time I get to see Imbo use his hat, I just love it.
Yeah,
I love Imbo in his hat.
I like the way they shot that scene too. Just you hear his hat coming towards him first, and then they just sort of pan the camera over just in time to see it wing off the guy's head.
Yeah, but that's all I really have.
All right, on to Act Two.
Act Two,
and some more of my hologram problems.
Yeah, there's a lot of hologram problems. Act Two. The Festival of Light is underway. Palpatine greets Padme and the Queen of Naboo. Ahsoka is assigned to be Padme and the Queen's bodyguards. The Jedi are for sure certain there will be an attack, even though Palpatine is just like, ugh, wet blanket Windu, stop following me around! Jeez! Obi-Wan finally gets a chance to call in a wet blanket and tell him the entire plan, how two of the guards are going to be disguised, and the getaway driver, and everything. And Windu is like, this is why you're the best, Obi-Wan. And Obi-Wan's like, yeah, I know I'm the best. At the night of the festival, the Jedi have everything set up. There's a ray shield to protect protect Palpatine. There's Jedi every 5 feet. The Chancellor is ready to give a speech. And we see Cad Bane hiding in the crowd. Just as the fireworks show is starting, I think I named him Tentacle Porn last week, that bounty hunter.
If you didn't, I like Tentacle Porn, though. I think you did.
I think it did, yeah. Tentacle Porn passes through the ray shield and blows up the shield generator.
Could call him Squidward.
Squidward! Squidward! Squidward passes through the ray shield and blows up... Sorry, I'm thinking about Squidward. And blows up the shield generator before the Jedi can stop him. Chaos erupts as the bounty hunters move in to get the Chancellor. They stick a disguised hologram thing on the unconscious Palpatine to make him look like a soldier. Cad Bane gets the real Palpatine out of there. Mace and Anakin run up to the guards with the fake Palpatine, realizing that they're bounty hunters. Anakin flipping cuts off, I think I named her Snake Eyes Lizard Thighs. I think that's what I named her. Cuts off Snake Eyes Lizard Thighs' arm, demanding to know where the Chancellor is. Behind them, Cad Bane tosses Palpatine in a speeder and flees with Moralo Evol. Hardeen Kenobi calls him that he's going after the Chancellor and will send the Jedi the coordinates. Cad Bane and Evol arrive at the rendezvous viewpoint with Palpatine. They realize that Dooku is a no-show and has double-crossed them. Hardeen Kenobi shows up to the bounty party too, where they all want to do their own thing, and they start a three-way fight between Kenobi, Bane, and Evol. Obi-Wan keeps them busy long enough for Anakin and Wet Blanket to arrive. They take Yuval and Bane into custody, where Windu reveals that Hardeen was Kenobi the entire time! And Bane is pretty pissed off that he was tricked for 3 whole episodes, and vows to get back at Obi-Wan. And it looks like the Jedi have won the day. What do you think of Act 2?
I was like, this is a weird second act. It's almost like the end of the show.
Yeah?
Okay, here's my other hologram problem, and it shows up in this one. Why do they keep checking their hologram? You know, like doing a little like, let me like diddle around with my hologram, and it'll go beep, beep, and you can see him underneath it. I know it's just so we know who each one of them is.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's just like, no, that's the stupidest thing. If you have a hologram, you don't let that hologram go bleh, bleh, because you're like, let me check it. You want to check it? Hold your arm up and look at it, you know? It's all there is to it. Look in a window as you pass by or something. I don't know. It was just bothering me.
My thing is I think it's so us as an audience can see it. I don't think that a regular person sitting beside Cad Bane in the audience could see it.
Yeah, okay. Either way, I don't like it.
I don't like it either, but like that was, because I was thinking too, because like Cad Bane's sitting like in front of people,
yeah,
and his hologram shifts and like they don't notice. And so I think it's just an audience thing that only we can see it. I don't think it's, but I mean, even then, there's so many better ways to do it.
I'd rather they just freeze the frame and put the words Cad Bane in front of him, you know? Get a little stylish with it.
Get the narrator in the opening of act, be like, and here is Cad Bane! And there is Tentacle Porn! Watch him walk!
I thought the scene looked really cool where Tentacle Porn zapped Anakin. The way he got fried was, I mean, we've seen a lot of like blue force lightning in Clone Wars, you know, and Anakin getting, we've seen a lot of Jedi getting shocked in all different kinds of ways, but I think this was the coolest shock effect. It was a combination of the camera angle and the way they lit it and stuff. It was just, it looked, it was one of those moments where I'm watching the show and I go, oh, wow, cool, you know?
Yeah.
Just pure visual bliss on that scene. They did a really good job with that.
For me, for that one, because we've seen, like, the last 2 episodes that Squidward has, like, little jolts of electricity, mm-hmm, that just kind of, like, you know, like, go up and down his tentacles. I never thought it was, like, he was a freaking laser
jelly. Like an electric eel or something, yeah.
Yeah, that can wrap around something and just like shock the hell. Wow. That made him so much more dangerous.
And now that you mention it, the electricity looked more organic. It was kind of like rounder edged than normal electricity, so it was more like something generated by an animal or something. They're really cool. They did a really good job, and it looked different than if he was getting, you know, zapped by Palpatine or something, or by Dooku.
And I think a lot of it with him, at least, like, he doesn't look like he could potentially be threatening. He's kind of goofy looking. And then he just starts shocking the shit out of Anakin. And you're like, oh, that's why you're a bounty hunter. Okay. It was just a cool reveal for him because he just never seemed that threatening for, like, 2 episodes until that moment. And you're like, oh, that's why he's scary. Cool.
And my other 2 notes are just with exclamation marks. Limb chopping and Bane flinging. So I liked all that stuff.
Dude, Bane like flat out throws Palpatine into a car.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I love it. He just like, chucked him right in there. I wonder if Palpatine was just like, I'm going to remember that.
Yeah. There's a lot of times where, like when they do things with Palpatine, because like you know that he's like this evil Sith Lord, that I'm just like, you know he's just going to giggle about it later and be like,
Well, yeah, he's got his Sith power, so if Bane flings him into the, it's not going to hurt him, really. He probably, like, cushioned his fall and all that, but, yeah, I just like the sheer kineticness of the action in this, although the logic of how things happen was kind of like, okay. It just was sort of coming to a resolution of the, like, oh, will Palpatine get caught? When really what everybody cares about is just, like, what's going on with Cad Bane and Obi-Wan, you know?
Yeah, so, that's my thing. That was actually one of my notes. I have other notes because my first one was the hologram one. My second note was I just liked seeing how the different bounty hunters worked and, like, their, like, little things, you know, that they can do and stuff. After 3 episodes of build-up, Bane finding out that Hardeen is actually Obi-Wan is just not satisfying as much as I want it to be. Like, I wanted it to be this, like, you know, because, like, Kenobi saved his life. He saved Kenobi's life. They've been doing this for 3 episodes. And, like, I, like, almost to a point where during the box, and this goes back to my problem with the box, where it could have been, like, a 2-parter, and they could have really built this relationship between Kenobi and Bane without Bane knowing that it was Kenobi. Like, there was so much more they could have done this entire arc, because that's what I care about, is Bane and Kenobi. And for this entire time, and it's so unsatisfying to have that ending after 3 episodes of them together, when it could have been something, for the last 2 episodes, it could have been something really cool. It could have been something really cool this time. So, like, I kind of wish it would have been something along the lines of, you know when Obi-Wan has a sniper rifle and he takes the shot and he shoots down Squidward? I would have almost liked have Bane have seen that. And then they're like, wait, Dooku warned me about this guy. He's right. Double-crossing me. And so, like,
that's
when
sort
he
of how I
up,
thought it was going to go down.
Yeah, and so, like, the moment that, like, Kenobi showed up at the rendezvous point, Bane would have been ready for him. Not like, oh, well, what are we going to do? We have the Chancellor. Dooku double-crossed us. Let's fight. Yeah. Like, I wanted that resolution after 3.5 episodes of Bane and Kenobi to be so much more satisfying, and it's not. It's just Bane getting captured, and he's just like, I will get revenge on you, Kenobi, and then he gets drugged
away. See, I like that, though. He gets kind of bitchy when he loses, but at the same time, he's flustered. He got bamboozled by Obi-Wan Kenobi, and he was probably starting to grudgingly like him, you know, in that bounty, you know, but instead of being, you know, he totally lost all his cool that he, you know, and that's Cad Bane's thing, is he's just always cool. You know, when the shit's flying around him, he just, like, pulls up his gun slowly and makes sure he aims well and doo-doo-doo and, you know, keeps his focus and is always, just has that sort of Clint Eastwood thing about him, and this messed him up, you know. It screwed him up when he found out he was sputtering, and, you know, it is completely just thrown off his game 100%. He's in custody for one, but
yeah.
That's not what's because whatever, he's in custody, he'll get out of whatever jail he's in, but. You know, the Obi-Wan thing, that really, like, really, really bothered and disturbed him. And it wasn't, like, the satisfying conclusion that we know it's not the conclusion because it's only Act 2, but it's not the satisfying conclusion or what we would have liked to have gotten out with him and Obi-Wan, but I thought it was very telling and just a neat scene that he just, like, flipped out, you know, I'll kill you, you know, and, like, you know, just basically lost his dignity for 1 second, which is, like, the biggest Cad Bane, no, don't lose your cool and always have your dignity, and he lost both right there.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of a neat scene.
I can see that. I've had so many issues with the last 4 episodes that, like, what are okay episodes could have been really great episodes. And so, like, this entire, like, arc is just, it's good, but I know how much greater it could be. And I think a lot of it's just, like, just wishes that of how things played differently that could have made it just really good. And so that definitely affected me because, you know, the one thing from the beginning is like, okay, Cad Bane's with Undercover Kenobi. There's going to be a reveal at some point. What's going to happen? And I just, it's kind of a letdown. I wanted it to be like such a bigger thing.
I thought it was going to be, it's funny because as we were watching this, I was thinking to myself, am I misthinking this? Is this really the first, I'm thinking this must be just the third episode because there's got to be more to this.
you know,
at the very beginning of the episode, I was thinking that and I'm like, oh no, this is the conclusion of this. Okay. But
yeah, we've had four episodes. The first one was the prison. The second one, they went shopping. The third one was the box. And then this is the fourth.
Like that boiled right down to they went shopping.
They went shopping. That's all they fucking did. And then Anakin showed up and they left. And like that's
and he
they,
ruined they, everything.
It's like, yeah.
Let's get shopping. Out of this mall. It used to be cool until Anakin got here.
He's like, guys, come eat my fries. Your casserole, Padme.
Guys, you want to go to Taco Bell?
No.
No, Anakin.
No, we eat Chipotle.
We already had Chipotle.
I love Chipotle. I can't say anything. I fucking love Chipotle. So, love that norovirus. Ugh. I swear they put crack in their food. I love it. All right. Well, that's all I had for Act 2. You want to wrap this puppy up?
Let's wrap this puppy up.
All right. Act 3. So the next morning, Palpatine sends away all of the security detail now that the threat has passed. Anakin finally meets up with Obi-Wan, who still looks like Hardeen. Anakin's all grumpy that the council didn't trust him enough with Obi-Wan's undercover plan. And Obi-Wan says it was his choice not to tell Anakin, not the council's. And Anakin is pissed that Obi-Wan lied to him. He asks, how many lies does the council tell him? And does Obi-Wan even know the whole truth of everything? This gets Kenobi thinking that maybe the Jedi missed something. And he stays behind on Naboo to check it out. Obi-Wan returns to the balcony where he was sniping from before during the kidnapping attempt. Checking out the equipment that just still happens to be laying there from the night before, he finds a listening device in the case. Dooku listened the entire time and knew that Hardeen was Obi-Wan. Palpatine is walking along a hallway with Anakin, and he's poking that angry dark side bear inside the kid. And Palpatine's all like, Anakin, that was a brilliant plan. What? It wasn't your plan? I thought the Jedi liked you. I thought the Jedi always worked in the team. I guess the Jedi aren't great. Poke, 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 poke. And then they open the door, and there's Dooku waiting for them. The last three episodes with Aval and Cad Bane and the Box and all the bounty hunters was never supposed to succeed and be a successful kidnapping plan because he knew that the Jedi would infiltrate his plan with Kenobi. So he used the Box to flush Kenobi out and get everyone to leave once the bounty hunters were captured. And now there are no Jedi, and Dooku is here for the Chancellor, and he brought some Magna Guards with him too. So we just wasted three fucking episodes of Clone Wars! I'm so mad! And Anakin and Dooku duel with the Magna Guards as they take away Palpatine. Obi-Wan shows up to help out, and they follow Dooku out to a ship. Anakin distracts Dooku long enough for Obi-Wan to get Palpatine off the ship. And Dooku congratulates Dooku congratulates Obi-Wan for being a worthy adversary before he gets away. And Palpatine's all like, thanks for saving me again, guys. I hate to think what would happen if there weren't any Jedi in the galaxy anymore. You know, like in a couple seasons and after episode 3. Let's go have a snack. The end. Ah! I hate when they do shit like this. Ugh.
I like the little reference to Empire Strikes Back, you know, where with Dooku at the end of the table like Darth Vader at the end of Empire, or, yeah. You know, in the middle of Empire.
Yeah, it was a good plan on Dooku's to have three episodes of, like, distraction so he could actually steal I know it was smart, but I don't care.
I like Anakin's foreshadowing with Palpatine where he says something like, you know, I'd rather die first than have anything happen to you, and in fact, he's the guy who's going to chuck him down the hole.
Yes. I will say that that last little scene with Anakin and also Palpatine being like, oh, I wonder what it would be like with no Jedi. Like, that's a great scene because, like, we know who they all are in the future.
Mm-hmm. And I like the little touches, the little touch of, well, Palpatine and Dooku both are just sort of trolling Anakin in this, you know. Especially Palpatine in the scene where he's just like, oh, that wasn't your idea? How odd, you know? Mm-hmm. And then Dooku's just winding him up too, and which isn't good for Dooku because that's going to end up ending bad with Dooku. And this sort of just sort of, it's, I like those things about it, but it's a disappointing end because the end of it, like you said, it's not about the bounty hunters. It's not about Cad Bane and Obi-Wan. It ends up basically being sort of like, I think, Palpatine's test run for episode 3, where they have the battle up. And, you know, this is basically like an aborted attempt. You know, now that I think about this, to get into the real world, it reminds me of the World Trade Center. Because, you know, a few years before 9/11, that somebody tried to blow up the World Trade Center and you know, set off a bomb in the basement of it and messed it up, but didn't take it down or anything like that. And then a few years later, they pulled it off. This was sort of like the dry run for the beginning of Episode 3, where they've kidnapped Palpatine.
Okay, you just made it a lot better because I didn't think of it that way.
Well, I guess it makes that scene more cool, and it gives it more meaning. But at the same time, it would have been better at the end of a story that was more about Dooku, right? And instead, you know, we have three episodes of this like kind of side story where you're like, okay. Here's how, like, because Cad Bane and Obi-Wan Kenobi, just as Obi-Wan Kenobi, are probably not going to build a relationship. Even if they're forced to, you know, survive with each other, they might use each other to survive, but they're not, you know, especially Cad Bane's not going to like Obi-Wan Kenobi. So you have this thing where it's like, okay, well, we'll change Obi-Wan Kenobi's face so he doesn't know who he is in his voice. And then, you know, we can have, you know, this process of their not friendship, but grudging respect for each other. And then it ends up being a completely different story at the end.
And they all get thrown under the bus.
Like, right. At the end of the second act, it's like, all right, well, all the elements that we don't want anymore have gone to jail and or are dead. And now we have this going on. And it was, I see what they were doing. They were doing a little, you know, sleight of hand, you know, oh, you thought it was over. It was over. We've already had a double, triple, quadruple cross. But it totally changes it. And just like, it doesn't work. It was an interesting scene, but it would, you know, I would have liked a different interesting scene on this and this interesting scene to be on the story that it belonged on.
And something I was thinking about, I didn't put it in my notes of what, but I was thinking about it earlier of like, what could have Dooku accomplished if he accidentally actually stole Palpatine? Like, they get on the ship and they're flying away and they're looking at each other like, oh shit, that wasn't supposed to happen. And I was like, okay, at very most, the original plot was to take Palpatine and use him to ransom to get separatist leaders released from jail. So I was like, they could still do that if Dooku did end up getting away with Palpatine. And so that would have still worked. But at the end of the day, I just like the idea of them like both getting on the ship and flying away. And they're like, oh, that wasn't supposed to happen. Hey, boss, what's up? Force lightning, you failed.
Palpatine isn't like, he doesn't know the future. But he knows what he has to get accomplished to get where he's going. And one of those things would be Anakin taking out Dooku, and which happens in episode 3, but maybe he was like trying to, you know, maybe it, to the, you know, to Palpatine, it could have been like, well, he set up the same situation, sowed doubt with Anakin, and then put him into a conflict with Dooku, with him standing there to sort of egg things on. And so, this time, it didn't work out because Obi-Wan was in the picture. And guess what happens in episode 3 is Obi-Wan's taken out of the picture. He's pinned underneath a beam. So, you know, Palpatine might not have been like, ah, this is exactly how I planned, but he could have been pulling away going like, well, yeah, I got to make sure next time that I don't have Obi-Wan coming in and messing this up. I have to have it so where it's, you know, because that way we could capture somebody or chase somebody off or whatever. And in this, you know, I want it to where he's got to take his head off. You know, we have to have that moment where Anakin kills him, even though he knows he shouldn't. So yeah, he could have been trying to get that to make that happen. And it just didn't happen this time. And he's like, all right, well, I'll wait. I'll get my chance later on. I'll come up with another scheme. I'll have Greavy get me next time.
We'll get you next time, you meddling kids.
Yeah, because he used Dooku didn't succeed this time, and he's probably like, okay, I'll give Grievous his last chance this time to get the two together and to kidnap me.
Yeah.
Grievous does a little better than Dooku did.
Yeah, all my notes are similar, but they're just slightly off from yours. Just off enough for me to repeat them.
Excellent.
So, did you have anything else?
No, that is all my notes.
Okay. So I like the little growl when Anakin and Obi-Wan come back together, and Anakin's just like, I can't believe the Council didn't trust me, and like that kind of like dark growl that he had. And also, Anakin's not wholly wrong to be mad at everyone who likes him. He's not wrong at all. I mean, we said it for, what, 3 episodes now, that after Obi-Wan's death, they should have pulled him to the side and been like, hey, just so you know, Obi-Wan's not dead. He's undercover. We're sorry about that. We needed you to sell it. But now we need you to go, like, stay, like, in your room for 2 days.
Yeah,
for, like, 2 days. And, like, that could have fixed this entire fucking arc. We said that. Episode 1 of this arc. But no. They did it to themselves. I also like to think that Palpatine enjoys watching Anakin and Dooku fight. And he's just like, yes, fight for my affection. Yes.
Oh, and of course he loves that. Yeah, well, whenever they're fighting, he's going to end up, you know, he's going to end up scoring a stronger, I keep wanting to say Padawan, but, you know, understudy.
Apprentice. Which actually leads nicely into my next note. You know, I forgot who, but it was one of our listeners, and they left a comment a few episodes ago. Maybe it was, like, a couple episodes ago. But they were talking about how, like, they were really annoyed how much Anakin and Dooku fight in Clone Wars and how much they come together and meet and stuff. But then I started thinking about it. And while Dooku is a current Sith Lord, and we as the audience know that Anakin will become Vader, I think at this point in the show, Palpatine doesn't 100% sure know who's going to be his apprentice in the long run. So I think that's why he's always putting Anakin and Dooku together. So they're testing each other because he actually has no idea who's going to end up on top. So, like, say if Anakin fails, then Dooku clearly is the better one. And if Dooku, as we know, gets killed, then Anakin becomes Vader. So I, the more I thought about that, I was like, okay, well, this is just Dooku or Palpatine testing his apprentices or his potential apprentice in Anakin's case. And I actually liked that he keeps putting them together because that's what he's doing. He's just like, well, one of these guys is going to be mine in the long run, but he just doesn't know which one yet.
I think he knows, but even if he doesn't know, he totally favors Anakin. Because Anakin has all the midichlorians, and he has, you know, he knows that Anakin has the Chosen One prophecy attached to him and stuff. So that's the, you know, I think that's a guy he wants. And also, I mean, Dooku's such a stooge too.
Yeah. And I think so too. I think Palpatine is 99.9% sure it's going to be Anakin. Mm-hmm. But that like little tiny percent, like, of what if Dooku kills the Chosen One, then he is the better Sith Lord. So I think that like Palpatine is just barely leaving the door open for Dooku, even though he really does like Anakin. He wants Anakin. He wants him to be the Sith Lord and everything like that. I think he's leaving the door just open enough that if Dooku happens to kill the Chosen One, cool. I have the Sith Lord that killed the Chosen One. Cool. All right, here's my last note. And this is what I realized when I reached the end of this episode. We just completed the Obi-Wan undercover four-parter, and we went through the box and Cad Bane and all that stuff. And then I started thinking, what was the point of these episodes? And I realized the point of these episodes was four episodes to make Anakin mad at the council. That's it. That was the point of these episodes. They made this whole elaborate thing just so Anakin can be mad at the council. Like, sure. Really? 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 Like, really? That's an hour and 20 minutes of my life gone. Actually, more than that, because then I
think that was maybe the bottom line of what he wanted to do. He thought, if I do this, at the very least, I'll sow some dissent and doubt with Anakin. But I might get I might get a new apprentice. You know, this might be the part where Anakin starts his turn. You know, because that's the important part of the beginning of Anakin's, the final phases of him turning Anakin is having him off Dooku.
The final countdown.
Dun-dun-dun. Yep, exactly.
But like that's it.
Palpatine is Europe.
That was what? Oh, Europe the band. Took me a second. I thought continent of Europe. But that's the point of these four episodes. It was just four episodes to make Anakin mad at the council. They went through all of this for that. And I'm just like, really? Because it's an hour and a half of watching the show, the couple hours it takes me to write each of these outlines for the last four episodes, and then us talking about it.
Hey, like, but you get to see Embo again and Cad Bane.
Yeah, it was for nothing. For nothing. Nothing.
I think, well, you know, there was lots of stuff. Yeah, it is, as a whole, very disappointing. As a bunch of parts, there's a lot of cool parts in here.
There's,
you know,
a lot of cool.
I think it peaked in the first step, you know, I think, well, you know, the first episode where you see Obi-Wan mutating his face and stuff like that, where it's just the craziness, you know?
Yeah. I actually really do like the box episode. I really do. That being said, as I said last week, I think it would have been better if we got, like, more of the bounty hunters and them forming alliances and it being a two-parter. There was so much more they could have done with it. And I think that's the summary of this entire four arc. There's a lot of cool parts. It could have been better in a bajillion ways.
Yes.
So, but that's all I have. I'm ready to not be here anymore.
Are you ready to for my score?
Score it up, baby!
This one actually dropped from last one. I gave this one a 7. Because I did enjoy a lot about it, you know, especially visually and stuff like that. But as, you know, limb chopping, Bane flinging, Anakin getting shocked by tentacle porn Squidward, but
you know that art is out there on the internet.
Squidwardable porn.
Yep.
And but yeah, I thought it was a weak ending, and the way it was sort of a double cross ending didn't work, because instead of feeling like a double cross ending, because there'd been so many double crosses before that just in this episode, that instead of feeling like a double cross ending, it felt like the ending to a different show. And it was even had a different sort of look and color to it. It was all like black at the last, so it just didn't work. So 7.0.
yeah. I will say I did like Dooku and Anakin's fight in the dining room, especially that moment where Anakin stabbed through the chair, and like, he's trying to, they're forcing the chair towards each other, and the his blade is really close to Dooku's face, and Palpatine's just smiling.
Now, there's been a lot of chair. There's that, you know, there was this chair action a couple episodes ago, you know, on the Slave World too. So yeah, they're loving using chairs. Yeah, there's a lot visually and action wise going for this arc, but story wise, it's sort of when it's going, it's going, but then at the end, it ends up none of it was going anywhere.
Yeah, as a viewer, I don't like the rug being pulled out from under me.
I mean, there's still, it's not like there's no conclusion or no meaning to it, but it's just not, it's just like a disjointed one. It's the meaning from a different arc. I'm wondering, you know, now I'm thinking to myself, maybe the next arc will have it'll just end with Cad Bane coming back and fighting with Obi-Wan or something.
That's what The Last Jedi is. Cad Bane's Force ghost like comes and finds Obi-Wan's Force ghost, and Luke is like, Rey, just ignore them.
Well, the story of how Cad Bane got to get in a Force ghost would be pretty interesting anyway.
That's true. That's very true. For me, this is an okay episode right in the middle. Like you said, it has a lot of cool stuff in it, but there's also just a lot of problems with this entire arc. And it resolves the four-part episodes, and we get some Anakin distrusting the Jedi, which is nice. I just want so much more, not only just from this episode, but just from this entire arc. I just wanted more from Bane and with Obi-Wan, and I just can't get past the fact that this was four episodes of just Dooku and Palpatine trolling Anakin. That was the point. But I'll be happy to get Obi-Wan back, like his actual face and his voice. And it was kind of fun watching him, like, once it was out that he was Obi-Wan, watching, like, Hardeen walk around with, like, Obi-Wan mannerisms. That was fun. I liked that. Because he looks so weird.
Well, like I said, there's like plenty of little things in this that are really interesting and that were obviously interesting to talk about.
Yeah.
But it just didn't add up to where it was adding up.
Yeah, but I gave it a 6.5 out of 10. It was a 6.75, but the more we talked about it, the more I went. I don't like this as much as I thought I did. So I dropped it down.
Mine went down from an 8.0 to a 7.5. A 7.5. What did I go from a 7.5? I went down a half point in talking about it too.
Yeah, so I went down too. So I had a 6.5 out of 10. Well, as always, we would love to hear your feedback on either iTunes, Twitter, or on the Two True Freaks Facebook page, especially on iTunes, because when you rate and review the show, that helps people find the show. And this week, our feedback comes from the Two True Freaks Facebook page for the episode Slaves of the Republic. Take it away, Chris.
The first one's Patrick Delmore.
It is longer than a sentence, so have fun.
I still really want to hear you guys do a commentary for Willow. I decided I'm also going to do that on my podcast, Next Generation, First Generation, when I cover movies from 1988 that had an effect on me.
That'd be cool.
Are you going to cover... You mean the non-porn movies that had an effect on you in 1988? Yeah. I think you know what I mean.
Squidward makes an appearance.
The non-Cinemax movies that had an effect on you. Now I'm trying to remember, what was that movie? The Lonely Lady. That was one of the Cinemax favorites of adolescent boys. Starring Pia Zadora, who is so, always naked in her movies.
It took me a second to realize who in this next one, who Paul was talking about, because I just called her by her first name, but he's talking about Queen Mirage from the Slaver arc. I never called her once by her last name of Sintel, so it took me, like, when I was reading this, I was like, who the hell is Paul talking about? And then I was like, oh, it's Queen Mirage, the Cat Queen, okay. So I just wanted to let
you guys use your context, Tope, yep.
Yeah,
used your context.
I let you guys know, because as I was reading this, I was like, who the fuck is he talking about? I had no idea, Paul, but now I do. So I just wanted to let our listeners know that.
You got to talk to us like we're little children, Paul. Call her Queen Kitty Cat Head, and we all know what you're talking about.
Queen Kitty. If we have to break it down in our show, you guys probably do too.
Just call her Queen Kitty Kitty Kitty, and Hope and I will go like, oh, yeah, Kitty Kitty Kitty. I like cats. Okay,
Now so, I'm imagining the kitty queen as one of your roof cats at work, just like waiting for the ribs.
The kitty queen and the kitty king sit atop the roof waiting for their ribs. Yeah. All right.
Riding their giant lizards.
Yeah. That comes when that comes, or when they start like domesticating the squirrels and they have the squirrels standing behind them, that's when I stop going to work. That's when I'm like, you guys are on your own. I don't like how this is developing. Anyway, Paul, don't get me started on squirrels. I got a great gift since I talk so much squirrel shit. One of my coworkers got me it's a spoon that the handle on it is basically a squirrel. Although it looks more like a beaver because the spoon part of it looks like a big flat sideways beaver tail. So it looks like a beaver squirrel, which I like. That makes me like it even more.
A squeaver? Squirver?
Squirver. I like that. Squirrel? Squeaver, squirver. I like both of those. Anyway, Paul C. Kelly. Whew, at least I don't have to do a voice for Paul C. Kelly. I could do a Boston accent, except I can't do a Boston accent. So I think maybe we'll have Hair Metal Hero. We'll just hire Hair Metal Hero to read all of Paul C. Kelly's mail in the future. Okay. I think Anakin had a thing for Syntel. Oh, yeah. Not at first with the Force choke, of course. Imagine if Anakin decided to have Syntel as a mistress and then double-dated with Obi-Wan and Duchess Satine. Yeah, I don't know how... Imagine how those two would get along. I don't know. Actually, we don't even need the whole Anakin Syntel thing, but just Satine and Syntel encountering one another. That's another movie altogether, Paul. Clone Wars created a father and son-like thing with the R2 lightsaber launch. Yes, indeed they did. I like that R2 is just like... He's almost like one of those automatic, like, pitching machines, or like the machines that serve tennis balls at you.
Mm-hmm.
I think Rex ends up the only one in this not getting captured. He must be good with cats, LOL.
No, he got captured at the end because he went to the processing facility with Obi-Wan.
Oh, right.
But I like to imagine that Rex is good with pussies, so.
That's what they say.
I don't know. I always think, like, with women, Rex would just be a little awkward. But
well,
like,
Rex fives... does mean king.
Yeah, but I do like to imagine that Fives and Jesse are, like, the clones that are, like, really good with women. And Rex is just, like, awkwardly drinking in the background. Just like, I'm so alone.
Hi, ma'am.
Nope. He'd be, like, bowing and, like, kissing hands. So.
Yeah, all blushy and stuff.
Oh, my baby. So, Chris hates American Kit Kats. Oh, this is cool looking. So, our friend Dario sends us candy from all over the world to review. And today... I just dropped my paper. Come back, paper. Okay. Today we are doing the Lily O'Briens. That was my terrible attempt at an Irish accent. Lily O'Briens!
Lily O'Briens!
Which is a marble dark chocolate, white chocolate, chocolate made in Kildare, Ireland.
So I can only do a bad Irish accent if I hum or play the Irish Spring. Lily O'Briens. Luxury marbled chocolate.
This is really good.
Oh, it is. I'm not a white chocolate fan. It looks almost like one of those creme de menthe things. But it's not.
Yeah, because there's not like too much white chocolate in it. It balances out really with the bitter dark chocolate
well. It's actually like layered in. I can see how they did it. They like layered it.
Mm-hmm.
But some of it actually sort of mushes together, and you have, like, dark chocolatey parts, and then you have, like, mocha-colored swirls. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
It is definitely luxury chocolate.
Mm-hmm. That's very sweet.
We don't use the word luxury in our podcast enough. We have a kind of a luxury podcast. It's like a big, luxurious seat.
No, we use classy, though. We're a classy podcast.
Classy and luxurious. Why can't we be both? Why can't we walk and chew gum at the same time, Hope?
That's true, but I'm all out of bubble gum, so I guess I'm walking.
Well, that's the number one way that people describe me in real life is classy and luxurious. With skin like rich Corinthian leather.
I don't know how people describe me. I like to think of like Gold Star you tried. I feel like that's the best explanation of my life. Gold Star, you tried hard. Good job, folks. I like to think of that. That makes me feel good.
So like a little smiley face sticker?
Mm-hmm. Something like with a cat that says like you're a meowsing or something.
Well, it's better than, like, you destroyed my life or something like that.
That could happen sometime.
You're still young.
Yeah. Well, where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at Two True Freaks, where all I do is sit around and edit podcasts, tapping my toes to swanky music and eating luxury marbled chocolate. Oh, we have podcasts. Let me tell you about this cushy seat of podcasts I'm sitting at. It's so stuffed full of podcasts, they're coming out the seams.
Coming out of our butts.
We have to have our webmaster come in every week and resew all the seams on our podcast sofa because so many podcasts are getting stuffed in there every day. It's now the size of a city block. And there are all kinds of podcasts. All kinds, especially if you're a nerd. I just finished recording a podcast with Chris Tyler, the hair metal hero, and Paul Spataro. We did an episode of, is it Jaws? About the movie The Exorcist.
The Exorcist.
So that was good. Me and two nice Catholic boys discussing demonic possession. That's the kind of stuff you get on Two True Freaks, buddy. And that's right, all of you out there are my buddy. Just like squirrels and roof cats, who I call buddy too.
Hey, you're buddy. You're like the Mr. Rogers of podcasts.
I am. I'm taking my sweater off right now.
Podcast neighbor. A podcast neighbor. It's Scott 2.0.
Exactly. He's like he's Mr. McFeely. And he might be Handyman Negroy. It's hard to say. Mr. Rogers had a big neighborhood. Even though it was a teeny tiny little model neighborhood for real. But anyway, yes, the Mr. Rogers of podcasts. I'm taking my shoes and my sweater off now. And I always talk in a soft, reassuring voice. And I never say anything negative. Never. Or off color.
Oh, you're not joking, are you?
I'm here to build self-esteem.
Oh. Oh, I thought you were kidding.
Through podcasts.
Oh, okay.
And so, yeah. And if you're interested in all these podcasts, you could go to twotruefreaks.com and you can see the podcasts as they come out. Or if, as everybody is on Facebook, you can just scoot on over to the Two True Freaks page on Facebook and everybody who has podcasts posts them on there, and you can go and talk directly to the creators of their podcasts. I don't know a single person who does podcasts who is not going to reply to any kind of comment or criticism or whatever on their Facebook thread. As a matter of fact, everybody would love more. We know we got 600 people on the in the Two True Freaks page, at least 600 and some people. And I would say about 30 or 40 of them are like actual, like, will comment and stuff. That's just sort of the way the internet is. But yeah, hey, you know, if you're looking, feel free to say something.
I will be the first to say I'm really bad at replying to things, because a lot of times, like, I'll see somebody comment on something while I'm at work, and I'm like, oh, I'll get back to that later, and then I get home from work and I forget. So it's not because I don't like you. It's
okay,
because
so
I'm
everybody
tired.
But Hope.
Yeah, I'm usually tired at the end of the day, and I forget to reply. So a lot of times, it's not you, it's me.
If you're one of those Twitter tweeters, and that's all you do is Twitter, we've even got a concession for that. We got a Twitter, Two True Freaks at Twitter, and that's run by Gene. the podcasting machine.
Ba-dum-bum-ba-dum-bum.
Gene! Ah, wow. Swanked it up this week.
I did. I felt it. It worked.
I
felt it in my bones.
I like it. You gotta keep it fresh.
Yeah, we do. Because at some point we're just gonna be like, Gene.
I think we've had a couple, but that's usually when we have two or three of them in a show, they start getting more and more just sort of rushed at the end.
So my favorite is when you caught me across the room getting a mint and I just screamed it across the room.
That's good though, you got it right, you timed it right on the spot, so yep, we're never gonna falter on the Gene Genes.
We're never gonna give you up, Gene. We're never going to let you down.
Oh, that reminds me. I've got a video I got to send to Gene. Anyway. Where can they find you, Hope?
You can find me on Twitter at JS and Jedi. I run our Twitter account. I know I said that I was going to do live reactions to Star Wars Rebels, but with such a weird Rebels schedule this season, I never know when it's on, and I don't want to spoil people. So I'm still posting up my instant reactions, which I'm actually going to be posting as soon as I get off with you.
They're just not going to be as instant.
Yeah.
Technically not as instant. I mean, how could you instant
them? No, they're my reactions as I watch them. So they were my thoughts that were coming up. So they were my instant reactions, not when it was airing. So, but that's kind of my fear about doing instant reactions this season is because Rebels has such a weird schedule. I don't want to spoil things for people. If say, like, because mine was on demand, so I watched the episode last night.
Well, hopefully people will go, like, okay, I'll watch it after I see the show. You know, you could always put a warning on it, just saying, yeah, just watch the show, you know.
Yeah, so I was thinking about that. I think about you guys. And you can also find me at Hope Malnex on Twitter. And I'm also the news writer for whatthefangirl.com. And like I said last week, we are looking for lady contributors, especially book reviewers and, well, just anything in general. So if you're interested, just hit me up and I can send you to my editors because we are looking for new lady writers for whatthefangirl.com. So, and that's all I have. Oh my god, Chris, you want to know something about next week?
What?
Okay.
So we only have, what, four more episodes left?
It is 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, we're almost done with season 4. But you want to know what's in next week's episode?
Creevy?
Zombies.
Ooh.
And Greevy.
What?
And there's a lot of Greevy with said zombies. Because we're also returning to Dathomir with the Saj Ventress, and there's Dathomir zombies and Grievous.
Oh, dear God. Okay. All right.
Do you want to know the title of next week's episode, too?
Chris has to change his pants in the middle of a Clone Wars episode?
Yeah, we'll stick with that. That's a good one. Yeah, it's Massacre.
Ooh! So. You pronounced it wrong. It's Massacre.
Massacre. So me and my best friend were doing something dumb the other day when I was staying with her, and we were reading out words just in the dumb, like, emphasizing too many things. So we were just like, May... Acre. Miss Acre next week. We come back next week where Chris will have to change his pants in the middle of the episode in bed.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at TwoTrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at TwoTrueFreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. TrueFreaks.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks.
Dumbass.
If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
I got it in the tip of my tongue.
Come on.
Oh, golly, I'm nervous. Let me see. Oh, Alexander Dumbass. Oh, Henry Dumbass.